comprehensible that she would never smile, or flick her hair, or whisper a message, or run through the corridors again. This was what Constantine had wanted to stop, he thought. This feeling of wrongness. The going away of life and meaning. He tried to imagine if it were someone he really loved lying there, Alistair, or Tamara, or Aaron. It was hard not to understand where Constantine had been coming from. He wrenched his mind back to the present. Understanding where Constantine had been coming from was not what he was supposed to be doing. Finding the spy was.
Reach for each other,
Alma instructed.
Use each other as counterweights. You carry within you the power of chaos, of ultimate nothingness. What you are reaching for is the soul, ultimate existence. Use that to reach Jennifer.
That made a little more sense, Call thought. Maybe. He exchanged a quick glance with Aaron before they both closed their eyes. In the dark, Call balanced himself. It was easier, now that he had practiced, to fall into that inner space. It was like everything rushed away, even the pain in his leg, and everything was black and silent. But in a comforting way, like a familiar blanket. He reached out and felt Aaron there. Aaron's self. His Aaron-ness. Cheerful reliability layered over a darker core of determination and anger. Aaron reached back for him, and Call felt strength flow into him. He could see Aaron now, the outline of him, bright against the dark. Another dim outline seemed to float up toward them, hair that looked white, like a photo negative, streamed behind her.
Jen.
Cole's eyes flew open and he nearly yelled. Jen hadn't moved on the table, but her eyes were wide open, their black irises filmed over. Aaron was staring too, shocked and a little sick. Jen's mouth didn't move, but a flat voice issued from between her lips.
Who calls me?
Hi, Call said. When she'd been alive, Jennifer had always made him nervous. She was one of the older, popular girls. He'd had enough trouble talking to her then. Talking to her now was nerve-wracking, on a totally other level. It's Call and Aaron, he went on. Remember us? We're wondering if you can tell us who murdered you.
I'm dead? Jennifer asked. I feel strange.
She sounded strange, too. There was a hollowness in her voice, an emptiness. Call didn't think her soul was present, not really. More like the traces of it, the memory of what was left behind when it departed. Just hearing her talk freaked out Call so much that he was afraid he might start laughing from panic. His heart hammered in his chest and he felt like he couldn't breathe. How was he supposed to break it to her that she wasn't alive anymore? He reminded himself that it really wasn't her. She didn't have feelings to hurt.
Can you tell us about the party?
Aaron asked, polite as ever. Call gave him a grateful look. What happened that night? Jennifer's mouth twisted into the shadow of a smile.
Yes. The party. I remember. I was having fun with my friends. There was a boy I liked, but he was avoiding me, and then the lights went out, and my chest hurt. I tried to scream. But I couldn't.
Kimaya! Kimaya! Stay away from him!
What? Call demanded. What about Kimaya? What happened?
Who's she supposed to stay away from? She's not the one who did this, is she?
But Jennifer seemed to be lost in the memory, her body thrashing around, her words turning to one long, continuous scream. Call had to focus on the magic. He closed his eyes and tried to go back to seeing that dim outline of Jen, that photo-negative version. In the dark, he saw her, faded and tattered. If he wanted to, he knew he could make her speak words that were not her own, but he needed her to have her own voice, not his. So he chased those shining leftovers of a soul, glad she was preserved only a short time after the soul's departure. He channeled more chaos magic into her to shore them up. When he opened his eyes, her features had gone slack. "Jennifer, can you hear me?" he asked. "Yes," she said, her voice flat and affectless. "What do you command?" "What?" Call looked over at Aaron. He had gone very pale.
"Oh, no,"
Anastasia said. Her hands went to her mouth. One clapped over the other. Alma's eyes had gone wide, and she reached out as though she could stop something that was already over.
"Call, what have you done?"
Call looked down at Jennifer, and she looked up at him with eyes that were beginning to swirl.
"Call,"
Anastasia whispered.
"Oh, no. Not again. Not again."
"What?" Call was backing away, shock spreading through him. "What?" seemed to be all he could say or think.
I didn't... I've never done that before."
"But I have. As Constantine. I've done it 100, 1,000 times." Jen sat up on the table. Her black hair flowed down around her bone-white shoulders. Her eyes were swirling fire.
"Command me, Master," she said to Call. "I wish only to serve."
"It is you,"
said Alma, looking at Call with a dawning horror.
"Little Makar,
why did no one tell me?"
Aaron moved to block Call from the two women's horrified looks, from Jennifer's staring, blazing eyes.
"You should never have suggested we do this," he said angrily. "It's horrible. Stealing her body, that was horrible. Go, both of you,"
Anastasia said. "We'll deal with this." Call felt Aaron's hand on his shoulder, and a moment later he'd been guided out of the room and was back in the corridor. He pulled the sleeve of his hoodie down over his hands. He was freezing, shivering all over.
"I didn't mean to do that," he said. "I was only trying to hang on to her soul."
Aaron's eyes softened.
"I know. It could have happened to either of us." "It couldn't have,"
Call hissed.
"I'm the only one of us who's the enemy of death."
Aaron squeezed Call's shoulder and let go.
"You're not the enemy," he said. "And the enemy was just a Makar once, like me. Maybe the first time he did it was by accident. There's a reason," he added in a lower voice, "that they're all so afraid of us."
Call glanced back at Anastasia's closed door.
"Oh, no. Not again," she'd said. Did she think Call had done it before, or did she just mean, "Oh no, not another Constantine"?
He started to walk back in the direction of their room, limping. Aaron followed him, hands shoved in his uniform pockets.
"I think Anastasia knows," said Call, "who I really am. Maybe Alma, too."
Aaron opened his mouth as if to say, "Your call," and then closed it again. A second later, he said,
"She did see you control all those chaos-ridden animals last night. And you said some weird things before you fainted. I mean, nothing too clear.
just some stuff about how the animals should know who you were.
Hopefully, she'll write that off as incredibly strange boasting, said Call.
Did Alex hear?
No, he was passed out.
Thinking of Alex reminded Call of Kimaya. He tensed all over again.
We have to find Tamara. We have to tell her that Jennifer said something about her sister.
Kimaya didn't murder anyone, said Aaron scornfully. Also, it'd be pretty weird if she was suddenly the greatest Makar of our generation. Way to overlook that, mages.
No. I don't think she did it, Call said, trying to make sense of the jumble of his thoughts. His head had started pounding.
I mean, if Jennifer was calling for Kimaya, or wanted to call for her around the time that she died, then maybe Kimaya knows something, maybe something she didn't think was important before.
Aaron nodded.
I wish we had answers. But at least we've got a clue.
Aaron? Call asked. He had another question about that night, one he wasn't sure he wanted to have answered.
Is Jasper's dad okay?
See, you do think Jasper's our friend, Aaron said.
Not if his dad got hurt because of us, I don't.
Jasper's father is fine. We made sure he was okay before we tied him up and blindfolded him. I heard him swearing just before we drove away.
Aaron was grinning, though, as if he'd won some bet. Call was glad one of them could still smile. They made their way to the infirmary. But there was no Tamara there, and no Alex either. His bed was empty. Master Amaranth, remaking one of the cots with air magic, gave Call a stern look.
I wish someone around here would listen to me when I say to stay in bed until I tell you that you're well enough to go, she said.
What happened to Alex? Aaron asked.
I killed him,
Master Amaranth replied, and gave a dry chuckle at the looks on their faces.
I actually gave him permission to go. I checked over his wounds and they'd healed. He was just fine when he went, unlike you.
Have you seen Tamara Rajavi? Call asked.
Yes. She came to tell me that you'd moved back to your own room because you don't like the infirmary. I don't know what's wrong with you boys. The infirmary is the safest place in the whole school. The elementals here make sure that's the case.
Call looked around uneasily. He'd never realized there were elementals watching him when he was in the infirmary. Considering the number of times he'd left it, he guessed that they weren't commanded to prevent people from coming and going. He didn't know what they were watching for, illness, maybe. But he felt better about being unconscious knowing that someone couldn't have just come in and attacked him. At least not without setting off an alarm.
Did she say where she was going? Aaron asked.
Master Amaranth gave him a puzzled look.
It's very early in the morning. I assumed she was going back to your rooms so that you all might get some sleep before classes start.
Now, Colum, since you've returned, maybe you should consider spending the rest of the night here.
No, he said, pretending away his headache. I feel fine. I am fine.
Well, neither of you should be roaming the halls this late at night. Go back to your room. Colum, come see me tomorrow after classes so we can see how you're holding up, and no more chaos magic for a few days, okay?
Call, thinking of the magic he'd already used that night, nodded guiltily. They headed back to their rooms. They'd reached the door, and Call was moving to open it with his bracelet, when they heard pounding feet in the corridor. Both Aaron and Call whirled around to see Alex racing toward them. He looked wild-eyed and had a fresh bruise on his face. He slowed to a stop, bending over with his hands on his knees as he caught his breath.
Tamara, he choked out. He took Tamara.
Aaron and Call looked at each other in confusion.
What are you talking about?
Aaron demanded.
The spy, Alex said. He grabbed Tamara.
Call went
rigid. His heart was pounding in his throat suddenly.
"What are you talking about, Alex?"
he said. "Tell us exactly what happened." Aaron looked as upset as Call felt.
"Exactly!"
"I left the infirmary when I woke up," Alex said. "I saw Tamara heading toward the mission gate with Havoc. I went after her because I wanted to thank her for helping me out last night."
He straightened up. "I yelled after her, but she didn't hear me. She headed outside and it was already dark. I thought I saw something moving in the trees, so I ran toward her. But I didn't get there in time. Someone grabbed her. I wasn't close enough to see his face, but it was definitely an adult. I sent magic after them, but he sent a huge bolt of something at me. It knocked me back, and by the time I could go after them, I lost their tracks in the woods."
Alex's blue t-shirt was stained red where the bandages bunched under it around his shoulder. He must have reopened the wound.
"I need you two to go after them with me," he said. "Whoever that guy is, he's powerful. I don't think I could fight him on my own."
Aaron and Call exchanged a panicked look.
"We have to tell someone," Aaron said. "There isn't time!"
Alex shook his head wildly.
"First, we'll have to convince them we're telling the truth, and by then, anything could have happened to her."
Call remembered the terrible night when Aaron had been taken by Master Joseph and Drew. He remembered the horrible, roiling chaos elemental. There hadn't been time to tell anyone then, either. If they'd waited, Aaron would have died.
"Okay," he said. "Let's go."
They raced after Alex toward the mission gate and spilled out into the night. Call was running as fast as he could, his leg screaming in pain.
"That way!"
Alex panted, pointing toward a path that led through the woods. The moonlight illuminated it brightly. It was, kind of horribly, a beautiful night, full of stars and white light. Even the trees seemed to glow. They dashed toward it, finally slowing down when the path turned into rocks and tree branches that made running dangerous. Call tried to imagine Tamara being shoved down this path by a terrifying adult mage, someone who was threatening her, maybe hurting her. Then he tried not to imagine it, as anger almost overwhelmed him.
"Havoc!"
he said suddenly. Alex, who was charging ahead as quickly as he could, turned slightly.
"What?"
"You said she was walking Havoc," said Call. "Did the guy grab Havoc, too?"
Alex shook his head.
"Havoc ran off. Into the woods."
"Havoc wouldn't do that," Call said. "Havoc wouldn't abandon her."
"Maybe he's following her," Aaron said. "Havoc can be sneaky. He's way smarter than a regular wolf."
"That's probably what's happening," said Alex.
"Don't be scared, Call. We're going to get this guy."
Call wasn't scared. He scanned the landscape for Havoc. If his wolf was with Tamara, then surely they'd be able to get away. Tamara and Havoc made for a formidable team.
"You said it was an adult, right?"
Call asked, ignoring Alex's condescending remark. He was older than Call and probably thought he knew better. Maybe he did. But he didn't know everything. Call thought of where they'd come from. They'd left Anastasia and Alma with chaos-ridden Jennifer, so it couldn't be either of the women. They had a totally separate, totally weird crisis to deal with. Call couldn't think of any other adult who'd been acting weird. Master Lemuel? Call hadn't seen him in a year, and it seemed uncharitable to suspect him just because they'd never really gotten along.
"Could it have been one of the assembly members?" he asked. "But why grab Tamara?"
The answer presented itself to him as soon as he said the words aloud.
"To lure me out of the magisterium."
"Why did you say it was the spy?" Call said.
"We still don't know who that is."
"Well, it stands to reason," Alex said. "Who else would it be except someone who's been trying to hurt you?"
"Which means we're walking into a trap."
Aaron said.
We're going to have to be very careful. And very quiet. Whoever it is knows we're coming. He probably made sure you saw him. Can you do that thing that makes us invisible again?
Good idea,
Alex said, lifting his hands. Air swirled around them, kicking up leaves. Call frowned. That made sense. That it was the spy who'd taken Tamara, that he'd done it to get Alex, to get them to leave the Magisterium. Kind of. It kind of made sense. But how did the spy know that Alex would go and get Aaron and Call instead of the Masters? How would the spy know Alex was there at all? That had an answer, though. The spy, or whoever it was, would know that taking Tamara and Havoc would bring Call and Aaron out of the Magisterium eventually. They'd come looking for their friend, though they could have brought all the mages of the Magisterium with them. Come to think of it, Call didn't remember seeing any evidence of a blast of magic being thrown outside. It was dark. But even in the dark, there was none of the telltale smell of ozone or burning wood. He looked over at Alex and frowned. They were far from the Magisterium now, and it was increasingly dark. The woods pressed in from the sides, and he couldn't see Alex's expression.
"This is the way to the Order of Disorder," Aaron said, interrupting Call's increasingly troubled thoughts. "It's abandoned, though. Alma said they were forced to clear out when the assembly started rounding up the animals. Maybe that's where the spy is holding her."
Alex sounded excited, but not like this was a grand adventure, and not like he was panicking about Tamara either. There was an eagerness in his voice that Call didn't like one bit. The woods were deep, and strangely empty without the chaos-ridden animals echoing with their absence. Occasionally, a distant owl called out. The wind was at their back, pushing them along, but Call's steps had slowed to a shuffle. Alex was his friend. When Call had first come to the Magisterium, Alex had been nice to him, even though Call was a surly little kid, and Alex was smart and cool, with plenty of friends. And then, Alex had talked to Call after Alex had gotten his heart broken by Kimaya. He'd really believed that Alex liked him. But Alex had access. He was Master Rufus's assistant. He could have gotten Call's canteen and punched a hole in it. He would have had access to whatever Rufus did to make their wristbands open their common room door. He could have used that to hide Skelmis in Call's bedroom. Could Anastasia have let him down into the chamber with the elementals when she went there? Call supposed she might have. After all, he was her stepson. Would she have noticed if he slipped away for a moment, and then, last year? He was the one who'd told Call that the mages had decided to kill Alistair, even though Master Rufus had told Call that had never been true. But why would Alex do any of that? Call glanced at his impassive face as they moved through the silvery dark. They were almost at the village of the Order. Call could see the big clearing up ahead, the shadows of cottages. He remembered Jennifer's mouth moving, and her last words, "Kimaya, Kimaya, stay away from him." But who had Kimaya been near at the party? Who would she need to be warned away from? Just her friends and her boyfriend. Alex. It didn't make any sense, and yet, something was still bothering him, had been bothering him since they'd first seen Alex in front of their door, out of breath, looking panicked, with blood on his blue shirt. Blue shirt. Cogs whirled in Call's mind, the image of a ripped photograph, Drew standing with Master Joseph and someone else, someone who was wearing a blue shirt, with distinctive black stripes down the shoulder seams. "I'm cold," Call said suddenly. "Alex, can I borrow your hoodie?" Alex looked puzzled. Aaron looked puzzled. Call wasn't usually one for borrowing other people's clothes, but Alex shrugged the hoodie off anyway and handed it to Call. Call stopped dead in his tracks. Alex's blue shirt was striped with two black lines down the shoulders. The other two boys stopped and looked back at him. Aaron's expression was worried. Alex's wasn't. "Alex," Call said, in as calm a voice as he could manage. "How did you know Drew?" Alex slowly raised his head. "What do you care?" he said. "You killed him." Aaron stopped dead in his tracks. The wind howled through the branches of the trees all around them. "Why would you say that?" He looked from Call to Alex. "What's going on?" "Alex is the one," Call said. He felt numb inside. "He's the spy." Alex took a step toward Call. Aaron flung a hand out as if to stop Alex from coming any closer. "Get away from Call," he warned. "I'm a Makar, Alex. I could really hurt you." But the older boy ignored him. "Drew was like my brother," Alex said. "Master Joseph recruited me in my copper year. He needed a talented air mage, and there was no one more talented than I was. Until you two." Call sucked in his breath. "My father was old," Alex said. "Barely even noticed when I got into the Magisterium. Joseph became my father. He taught me and Drew together. Gave us extra lessons. That's why I was good enough to become Rufus's assistant, and boy did Joseph laugh when I told him that." A grin split Alex's handsome face. "Anastasia was harder to trick. But she fell for it too, the good stepson act. She was too busy faking that she cared about my father to pay attention to me." His eyes burned. "Meanwhile, Joseph told me everything. He told me the truth about the enemy of death. He told me about you." "So you've known who I was this whole time?" asked Call. Alex barely seemed to hear him. "Do you know how ungrateful you are?" he said. "Joseph cares about you more than he cares about anything else. Both of you have power, but you, Call, you're special. Do you know what it means to be special? Do you have any idea what you're throwing away?" "If it means being like you," Call said, "then I don't want it." Alex's face twisted. Aaron's hand flashed protectively, fire already growing in his palm. But at that moment, shadows exploded out of the woods on either side of them, adults in black clothing, with black masks hiding their faces. Strong hands and arms seized Call and Aaron. "March them to the village," Alex said. Call was shoved forward, stumbling. He and Aaron were pushed roughly down the path. He had no idea who was holding him, not a chaos ridden. Alex couldn't control one. Or could he? "The greatest Makar of your generation." No. If Alex was a chaos user, he would have bragged about it, Call was sure. It turned out that one didn't have to have anything to do with chaos to have evil overlord aspirations. Chapter 15. Cole tried to twist out of the grip of the people who held him, but he couldn't. They were too strong. He tried to bring fire to his hands, but as soon as it sparked, someone cuffed him on the back of the head, and his concentration fled, extinguishing the flame. A moment later, he was thrown down in the grass in the center of the abandoned Order of Disorder village. The empty buildings eerie in the moonlight. There were packs and food and a small fire going. Alex wasn't working alone. The masked figures, whoever they were, must have been waiting here to be summoned by him. Cole rolled to his side, looking for Aaron. Aaron was down in the grass, too. A bulky, masked figure had a boot on his back. Cole tried to stand but was shoved firmly back down to the ground.
"Let them sit up."
It was Alex's voice. Cole struggled to his knees to see Alex walking toward them. A massive copper glove was on his right arm, covering his hand, reaching to the elbow. The Alcahest. The Makar Killer. Cole had used it himself to destroy Constantine Madden's body. He couldn't imagine what its power could do to a living person. It would take the chaos inside his soul, or Aaron's, and use it to rip them to pieces from the inside.
"Scared, Makar?"
Alex moved the metal fingers of the Alcahest, and then laughed at Cole's expression. Cole exchanged a quick look with Aaron, who was kneeling beside him. There were twigs in Aaron's blonde hair, but he didn't look hurt. Thankfully. Not yet, anyway.
"Keep Alex talking," Cole thought. "Keep him talking and don't panic, and don't let him hurt Aaron."
"Tamara?" he asked. "Did you hurt her? Is she here?" That made Alex laugh harder.
"You really are an idiot, you know that?"
"I have no idea where Tamara is. I didn't bother kidnapping her. Why go to all that effort when I could just tell you two that I did and you'd believe me? She and your stupid wolf are probably asleep. I guess they'll be pretty sad when they wake up and find out what happened to you two."
"Does Master Joseph know you took the Alcahest?" Aaron asked.
"Did he tell you to do this?"
Alex threw his head back, but this time his laugh sounded forced.
"He doesn't know anything about my plan. I took the Alcahest and left an illusion in its place. It won't last forever, but it will last long enough." He snarled. "Ever since he started teaching me, I've heard him talk about you. About how the glorious Constantine was returning, and how we had to prepare ourselves. The amazing Constantine Madden, who was so important that Drew had to fake his way into the Magisterium, pretending not to even know me. And then it's you. What a total disappointment." "Sorry to hear it," Cole said acidly.
"So how come you wanted to kill him? Revenge?"
Aaron asked. Cole was glad that he was on the keep him talking train because Cole was so freaked out that it wasn't easy.
"Wouldn't that make Master Joseph angry?"
"He just needs a Makar,"
Alex said, lifting the Alcahest.
"And now I've figured out how to become one. I reconfigured the Alcahest. It won't just rip your chaos magic from you, it will channel that ability into me."
"That's not possible,"
Cole said, but he recalled how the power had come to him when Constantine Madden's body had been devoured by the Alcahest. Maybe it could be done.
"Says the boy who's been dead for 14 years,
dismissed Alex.
"Do you ever think about him? Poor little Colum Hunt. Dead before he even got to say his first word. Murdered by you, Constantine. Just the way you killed the closest thing I had to a brother. Just the way you killed your own brother.
You were never meant to have this power, and now I am going to take it from you and be a better enemy of death than you'll ever be.
Fine, said Call. Just don't hurt Aaron.
Aaron made a strangled noise. Alex rolled his eyes.
That's right. Aaron, your precious counterweight. Is that what you threw it all away for, Call? Your friends?
Threw what away? Call demanded, panicking. He had to believe that someone was going to come from the Magisterium. Someone was going to find them.
Alex was crazy. He was out of his mind.
Being Constantine? I never wanted that.
You shouldn't hurt Call, said Aaron. You should take the magic from me. All this nobility is really nauseating, said Alex.
His gold wristband gleamed as he flicked back a strand of brown hair. He looked spectral in the moonlight, like an evil spirit.
But if it makes you feel any better, that was my plan. Kill Call, make it look like an accident, and then take your Makar ability, Aaron, killing you in the process. But now that you're both here, in front of me, it's hard to choose.
Master Joseph will kill you if you hurt Call, Aaron argued. He jumped in front of Call to protect him in the enemy's tomb, did you know that? He would have sacrificed his life for him.
He always believed Call would come around and want to join him, Alex said. Want to fight back death. But the truth is, Call, you're too much of a coward. Someone who doesn't want this power shouldn't have it. Really, I'm doing Master Joseph a favor.
He moved toward Call. Aaron started to struggle up, but was shoved back down. Black fire started to grow in his hands.
Stay away from Call.
Alex whirled toward him with the Alkahest.
Don't you get it?
He said witheringly.
If you make a move toward me, I'll kill you, and then I'll kill Call anyway, and I'll make it slow.
Aaron clasped his hands into fists. Call felt his whole body tightening as he prepared to jump up, to try to run.
Stop!
A voice rang out through the clearing. It was Tamara, Havoc at her heels. Havoc's ears were back, flat against his head, and he was growling. Tamara had her hand out, and red fire was burning in her palm.
You can't hurt me with that thing, Alex, she said. I'm not a Makar.
Tamara, Call shouted. How did you find us?
Havoc, she called back. We were in the room, and he suddenly started growling and throwing himself at the door, even though I'd already taken him out. I opened the door, and he led me right here.
She glared at Alex.
And he'll rip out the throat of anyone who comes near me, so don't even think about it.
Tamara advanced toward them, and the minions actually took a step back. Fire blazed higher. Call wondered who they were. Devotees of Master Joseph, regular non-magic people who'd been enchanted. He had to admit that between Alex's crazy master plan, his minions, and his boasting, he was really racking up the evil overlord points. Call tried to get up, but he was held tightly in place. He could see Aaron struggling beside him.
Oh, good, Alex said. An audience.
Tamara looked furious. Call hoped to see the mages of the Magisterium behind her, but no one was there. This was his fault. He knew. For 3 years, Tamara and Aaron had been keeping his secrets, hiding important things from everyone, including Master Rufus. Now, they didn't look for help from anyone else, even when they could really use it. Alex leveled the Alkahest toward them, and reached out with it.
Maybe the Alkahest should choose. Maybe I'll send it at both of you and see what happens. Maybe it will take both your magic. What do you think of that?
Call reached out and grabbed Aaron's hand.
Aaron looked surprised for a second, then his grip locked with Call's. Call wanted to tell his best friend how sorry he was, how this was all his fault because he was Constantine Madden, but Aaron spoke before he got a chance.
"At least we're going to die together," Aaron said.
Then, unbelievably, he smiled at Call.
"We're not,"
Call wanted to say, "we're going to live." But as he began to speak, a flash of light blinded him. Tamara had thrown a bolt of fire. Alex ducked away from it, flinging out his own hand, sending air magic to reroute the fire. It shot back toward Call. The man who was holding Call stumbled back, his grip on Call faltering. The masked man's shirt was on fire, and he was screaming. Call shot to his feet, ignoring the pain in his leg. Still holding Aaron's hand, he hauled him upright too. Everything seemed to be happening at once.
"Havoc! Go!"
Tamara screamed. Havoc was a dark blur in the air, racing toward Alex. Aaron drew his hand away from Call's, dark chaos blooming in his palm. Alex raised his arm, the alkahest shimmering with energy. Aaron flung his hand forward, but the dark light that sprang from his hand flew wide, knocking one of the hooded figures aside, but missing Alex. The clawed hand of the alkahest opened, and a blaze of coppery light flew from its fingers. Time hung suspended. That light was everything that chaos wasn't. It was bright and burning and cold, like the edge of a knife. And Call knew without the shadow of a doubt that when it struck him, it would kill him. He closed his eyes. Something pushed him from behind. He went sprawling, rolling over in the grass. The bolt of light missed him by inches. He felt something sear his cheek as he tumbled forward and over, and then, fetching up on his side, he raised his head and saw it strike Aaron in the chest. The force of it lifted Aaron off his feet and sent him flying. He crashed down in the grass, several feet away, his eyes wide open and glassy, staring at the sky.
"No,"
someone said.
"Aaron! No, no, no!"
Call thought it was his own voice for a second, but it was Tamara's. She was sprawled in the grass next to him. She'd been what hit him. She'd knocked him out of the way of the alkahest. She'd saved his life. But not Aaron's. Call touched his cheek. It burned. Maybe the alkahest had only burned Aaron, too. He tried to get to his feet, to go over to Aaron, but his legs wouldn't hold him. Instead, he reached out toward Aaron with all his senses. He remembered what he had felt before when he'd touched Aaron's soul, the sense of life, of something existing in the world, bright and solid. But there was nothing there now. Aaron was a shell. His soul was gone, leaving only the shining shadows of Aaron-ness remaining. Call whirled on Alex, who had torn the alkahest from his arm. Of course. Now it could hurt him, too. Now he had Aaron's power. He almost seemed to be pulsing, like a star about to go supernova. His skin was shimmering and rippling with bands of light and dark.
"Power!"
Alex gasped. He raised his hand, blackness coiling around it like smoke.
"I can feel it! The power of chaos! Running through me!"
"Not if I can help it!"
Call said, flinging out his hand. A bolt of black light shot from his palm toward Alex. He was sure it would kill him, send him screaming into the void. He was glad. The spear of magic flew toward Alex. His hand went up, and he caught it. He stared at it, wonderingly, for a second. And Cole stared, too, a sick feeling in his stomach. Alex was a Makar now. He could control and manipulate chaos, and he was a better, older, and more experienced magician than Cole.
Then he screamed.
Out of nowhere, Havoc had slipped out of the dark and sunk his teeth into Alex's leg. Alex flung chaos, but Havoc was too quick for him, darting away, still growling. He lunged again, and this time, Alex didn't have a chance to react. Havoc knocked him to the ground, his teeth ripping at Alex's shirt.
"Get it off me!"
Alex screamed. "Get it off me!" Several of the hooded figures raced up. Havoc released Alex, who staggered to his feet, bleeding from several places. His skin was still rippling, his face twisting. Cole remembered how it had been for him in the tomb when his chaos magic had manifested, how out of control he'd felt, how sick. Alex flung a hand toward Havoc, but this time, the magic that exploded from his hand went haywire. Darkness spilled out in all directions. It poured out in tendrils that rose up into the air and clouds that reached toward the sky. Where it touched, things began to come apart. One of the Order of Disorder houses collapsed as chaos ate away its foundations. Three nearby trees were devoured whole. The ground itself became pocked as pieces of it were lifted away into the void. Two of the masked figures screamed as they were swallowed up before the chaos dissipated. Alex looked down at his hands, horrified and yet clearly amazed to
"Get the Alkahest,"
he said hoarsely to one of his remaining minions.
"We need to get out of here."
He looked at Cole for a moment, then curled his lip.
"I'll deal with you later,"
Alex hissed and rushed from the clearing, his surviving followers beside him. Cole barely even cared. He turned back around to see Tamara crouched over Aaron's still body. She was sobbing, her whole body shaking, nearly bent in half. Havoc crept over to her, nuzzling at her shoulder with his black nose. But she kept crying, her face wet with tears. Cole didn't even feel his feet move. But he was there, dropping down next to Aaron, across from Tamara. He touched Aaron's hand, the hand he'd gripped only moments ago. It was cold. Tamara was still crying softly. She had knocked Cole out of the way of the Alkahest. She had saved his life. "Why did you do it?" he asked suddenly. "How could you do that? Aaron was the one who was supposed to live, not me. I'm the enemy of death, Tamara. I'm not the good one. Aaron was." She looked at him for a long moment. "I know," she said, tears in her eyes. "But Cole..." A cry came from above what was left of the village.
"There!"
someone shouted. Among the trees, Cole could see floating spheres. The mages had gone looking for them after all, just like they'd looked for Drew that night. And they'd been too late again. Always too late. Master North, Master Rufus, Alma, and several other masters ran into the clearing. North and the others were gaping around at the devastation, at the chunks of earth that were simply gone. The collapsed houses and destroyed trees. But Rufus? Rufus was looking at Aaron. Pushing aside the others, he rushed to Aaron's body, falling to one knee to feel for a pulse. Cole knew he wouldn't find one. There was no Aaron anymore. No counterweight to his own soul, just this feeling of emptiness, the feeling that something had been ripped away from him that could never be replaced. He understood now how Constantine Madden could have wanted to tear down the world once his brother was gone.
Rufus closed his eyes. His shoulders slumped. He looked old to Call in that moment. Old and broken.
"What happened here?"
demanded Master North.
"It looks like there was some sort of battle."
He frowned at Call.
"What did you do?"
Rage exploded inside Call's head.
"It wasn't me,"
he shouted.
"Alex Strike and his minions. He has the Alkahest and he killed Aaron. You're letting them get away. Aren't you supposed to be the teachers? Stop them."
"No,"
Alma said, striding toward Call, eyes shining. She pointed one long finger at him.
"I didn't see it at first. But now I see you, Constantine. You killed Aaron. You engineered all of this to hide your crimes, including the murder of Jennifer."
Call's eyes went wide. She couldn't be saying what it sounded like she was saying. He didn't even know how to answer her. He couldn't, not with Aaron's body next to him.
"Be quiet,"
Master Rufus told Alma, surprising Call.
"It's obvious there was a battle, but we have no reason to think Call's lying. And even if he was, Tamara was here as a witness."
"Call's right,"
Tamara put in.
"It was Alex Strike. It must have been Alex all along."
Alma shook her head.
"Don't believe either of them. Haven't you wondered how Callum controlled that chaos-ridden animal beside him? Or how he defeated the enemy of death himself? Or why he wasn't a macaw when last year began, but how he became one at the exact moment Constantine was supposed to have been killed? Now we have the answer. Constantine put his soul into Callum Hunt. You are looking at a monster in the shape of a child. I saw him put chaos into a soul and create one of the chaos-ridden. I know what he is."
She was raving, Call thought. No one was going to believe her. But no one contradicted her either.
"Don't worry, Callum,"
Master North said, but there was something off about his voice. A coaxing tone.
"We'll get to the bottom of this. Come with me."
"I can't leave Aaron,"
Call told him.
"We're all going back to the Magisterium,"
Master North said.
"No!"
Call shouted. He was tired of lying, tired of any of this.
"You have to go after Alex. You have to find him. I admit it, okay? Everything Alma's saying is true, except for the part where I killed Aaron. I didn't. Yes, I am the enemy of death, but I swear to you that I didn't do it, and that Alex did. I swear to you that I would never hurt—"
That was the last thing Call managed to say before he was clapped in chains. Chapter 16. Call's cell, in the Panopticon, had three white walls, and one that was entirely clear, so that he could be seen at all times by the people in the guard tower at the very center of the prison. None of the walls seemed to be affected by magic, so no matter how many times he tried to burn them, or devour them, crack them, or freeze them, nothing worked. Twice a day, a white box was pushed through a plate of the clear window. Inside was nearly tasteless food and water. Other than that, nothing changed. They hadn't given him any books or paper or pens or anything else to do, so Call spent his days sitting on his cot, hating everyone, and especially himself. He'd been there a week. A week of playing through that final battle in the clearing, imagining how it could have gone differently, imagining Aaron alive, and sometimes, in the throes of self-pity, even imagining himself dead. Sometimes he woke up from dreams where Aaron was talking to him,
joking around about going to the gallery, or offering to walk Havoc. Sometimes he woke from dreams where Aaron was shouting at him, telling him that he was the one who was supposed to die.
Call wants to live.
Call thought again and again about his own personal addition to the Sin Cane. His defining characteristic, a will to survive. That's what he'd thought, anyway. But Call didn't want to be the person who was alive because his best friend was dead. He didn't know if he wanted to live in a world without Aaron in it. He wanted Aaron back. It was like a roaring in his soul, the sadness of terrible loss, the realization of what Constantine must have felt when he lost Jericho. Call didn't want to understand how Constantine had felt. Maybe it was better he was in prison where he couldn't hurt anyone else, where at least he was being punished for some of his crimes. Maybe it was better that no one came to see him. Not even his own dad. Certainly not Tamara, who probably couldn't live with the guilt of making the totally wrong choice, and not Master Rufus, who probably wished Call had never even gone to the Iron Trial. How could someone have been unlucky enough to have chosen the Enemy of Death as his apprentice, not once, but twice? Call was lying on the floor, looking up at the ceiling, when steps at an unfamiliar time made him turn his head. Standing outside his cell, dressed in a long white coat, her hair tucked up under a white hat, was Anastasia Tarquin. She looked at him, and raised both her brows in a gesture that reminded him of Master Rufus. It said, "You are amusing me right now, but you won't be amusing me for long." Call didn't care. He stayed on the floor. A guard, a woman who banged down Call's food tray with unnecessary vigor, brought the assemblywoman a chair. Anastasia sat, and the guard walked off. Call had guessed that a member of the assembly would eventually come to take some kind of statement or interrogate him. He should probably be glad it was Anastasia, but he wasn't glad. He didn't want to talk to her. He didn't want to talk to anyone, but someone he knew was even worse than a stranger.
"Come closer," Anastasia told him, folding her hands in her lap.
With a sigh, Call scrambled over to the window and into a sitting position.
"Fine. But you have to answer two questions for me."
"Very well," she said.
"What are they?"
Call hesitated because even though he obsessed over these two things in the longest hours of the night, he didn't know what he would do with real answers.
"Is tomorrow okay?"
he managed, his voice coming out choked.
"Is she in a lot of trouble?"
Anastasia gave him a small smile.
"Tamara is safe.
How much trouble she is in remains to be seen."
"Are you satisfied?"
"No," Call said.
"Havoc? Is he okay? Have they hurt him?"
Anastasia's smile didn't falter.
"Your wolf is with the Radzivis, and perfectly safe." "Enough?"
"I guess,"
Call said, knowing that tomorrow was all right and that Havoc was alive. Was the first relief he'd felt in forever.
"Good," Anastasia said. "We don't have a lot of time. There is something I have to tell you."
"My name is not Anastasia Tarquin."
Call blinked.
"What?"
"Long ago,
I had two sons who went to the magisterium, she said. We were not a legacy family. I admit I was uncomfortable with my own magic and took little interest in their schooling. I met none of their teachers, attended no meetings, let my husband take care of it all. It proved a fatal mistake. She took a deep breath. When I spoke of knowing Constantine and Jericho Madden, and owing them a debt, I was telling you only some of the truth. You see, I was their mother. Which means that I am your mother. In every way that matters. Whatever Call had been suspecting, it wasn't that. He gaped at her. But how? The magisterium. They would know. There was no way for them to know, said Anastasia. It was long ago, and as I said, I barely knew the mages. But when both my sons were dead, Master Joseph contacted me. My husband, your father, had killed himself by then. Her voice was emotionless. Joseph told me what Constantine had done, how he had transferred his soul. I was determined to be there for my son in his new body, as I had not been before. I left the country and went back to my homeland. There, I stole the identity of a woman about my age. Anastasia Tarquin. I altered my appearance. I practiced my craft with a newfound devotion, then returning as a powerful mage from abroad. I married Augustus Strike to obtain a seat on the council. No one guessed who I was or my true purpose. Your true purpose? Call's mind was spinning. You, she said. That's why I came to this school. That's why I joined the assembly. It was all for you. And that has not changed. Anastasia rose, standing and putting her hand against the clear, not glass of the window, as if she wished nothing more than to reach through it and be able to touch Call's hand with her own. Her eyes were sad, but determined. This time, I am going to save you, my son. This time, I am going to set you free.
This is Paul Baymer. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of The Bronze Key, Book 3 of Magisterium, by Holly Black and Cassandra Clare. This program was directed by Jessica Kay. Executive producer, Sarah Jaffe. Text copyright 2016 by Holly Black and Cassandra Clare, LLC. Production copyright 2016, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.